I'm 66.
Well, I intend to be 100 or better.
Oh, do you really?
I've already made a date with my wife. We're going out on my 110th birthday.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I told her to take her vitamins.
No, but sure enough, what do I need to... Should I learn reincarnation, which I don't like?
Well, if you'd like to know about more things, you can always drop us a line at our address. And we have all kinds of things that will that can give you information on what there is to know about yourself and your existence.
Oh, and the future.
And the future, right.
That's what's important to me, is the future. I know where I've been.
Well, a little bit later, we're going to get to one of the callers who has been going out of body and going backward and forward in time. So maybe you'll want to hang on for the call from Nesbitt.
Oh, absolutely.
And, of course, Robert Monroe and his group of explorers do this, I guess you could call it time travel. They don't look upon it as that way, but they have done a lot of research in that particular area. So just hang in there, Bonnie.
Oh, thank you very, very much.
All right, thank you for being with us.
I really appreciate it.
Okay, hon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jim.
Hi, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Jerry and Jim.
Hi.
Hi. My name, I'm trying a school now called Ekankar, the Ancient Science of Soul Travel, and it's kind of helped me orient myself because it let me know that there's another body beside the physical body, they like the astral body, and that there are other bodies besides that, like a mental body and a soul body. And then perhaps we have many levels of bodies, but they're all part of our wholeness as a beings. And we can kind of like listen to sound and light within us, and a spiritual guide will help us to understand these various aspects of our being. So we're masters of all of them. And I find it helpful to me to have that understanding. And I do appreciate the work that you do. And I think that it's fine that you're looking, too. And I appreciate your open forum here.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. Have you gone out about it yourself?
You're welcome. Yes, I have.
And what did you find?
I think it's rather indescribable. generally, and I it's rather closely personal to me.
Okay.
But I do think that each person... I just wanted to kind of offer that up as a possibility for those interested in this area. I really have no particular verification other than the fact that it's I feel helped me to have an overview of what I'm doing rather than to be boxed in into the probabilities of the situation only from one viewpoint.
All right. Well, I appreciate your very kind comments.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
And best of luck to you.
Okay, thank you, too.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
All right, Nesbitt, been going backward and forward in time, have you?
No, I haven't. When I called in, I think your man sort of didn't get quite what I was talking about. I did want to ask about going back and forth in time and if you're, if you're guess had gone back
Could you turn your radio down just a little bit there,
sure,
in the distance?
Because uh-huh.
There's a little delay and it gets a little bit confusing.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, Jerry, going back and forward in time, what have you gentlemen found out about it?
Well, I've got that book. Well, I got backwards. I mean, but you can pick up a history book and do that.
Yeah.
But forward, I thought one of my things was coming true the other night when the tidal wave was coming into California, but...
The tidal wave that never came.
It never came. So that kind of went out the window.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the most important thing I did when I went forward was that space shuffle. You know, that went up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I projected out to go ahead, As a matter of fact, you know what, Bill?
What?
The last time that happened, right after you left to go to your daughter's wedding.
Yes. Yeah, we had just returned when that happened.
And I was going to... I seen that happen before, and I was going to bring it up on your program, and I thought, no, I don't want to bring nothing like that up.
Right. You had seen the Challenger disaster prior to it happening?
Right. But why I didn't want to bring it up, because when I seen the crew I seen two women on that crew, and I said they'd never send two women up in the spaceship.
Just so happens they did.
Yep.
Did, of course, when you see things like that, it's good to get them down and dated.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, well, you'd be surprised how many people called me here, psychics, quote unquote, and maybe they are, who had predicted that to themselves but just didn't tell anybody, and I am not saying that they didn't. But it helps if they can prove that they had done that prior to.
Hey, you keep a tape of this radio show?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
I think if you go back a year or so on mine, I did predict, I told you about that Russia was going to have a nuclear accident.
I'm just now scratching my own computer here in the top of my head, and I think that you did say something about a nuclear accident.
Talking about that. Talking about a nuclear war, and I said there'd never be one, but Russia would have a nuclear accident that would set them back.
I believe you did, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back through the shows. We keep them. And listen to that. And if it did, I will pull it out. I'll send you a copy of it.
Yeah.
And we'll also air that whenever you're on with us this fall. Okay?
That's good.
All right. Oh, I love things like this. I love things like this. Does that help you now, Nesbitt?
Yes, it does. Bill, can I ask another quick question?
Yes.
Earlier in the show, one of your guests mentioned something about the first level, and that's not a good place to be.
Not a fine place.
Not the most pleasant place to be. How can one control where they want to be when they're out of the body? And explain to me what levels are.
Good questions. Okay, Jerry? Or Jim? He wants to know how you control what level you go to in the out-of-body state. And perhaps Nesbitt wants to know how he can keep from going there whenever he's permanently out of body. And what are the levels?
Well, the first and second level aren't nice levels. I went through with a guide.
It's a nice place to visit, but you don't want to stay there.
You don't want to stay there. But eventually the ones that are down there aren't going to get out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he has to worry about going to that level.
Well, what are the other levels?
Well, you got the third level. This is mostly what Christians would call heaven.
Uh-huh.
That's where the majority of the people, when they leave Earth, go to the third level. It's beautiful, and they think they're in heaven.
Okay.
And then you get to the fourth level, it's more higher. Can I say more scholars, you know?
More serene? The scholars are there, the thinkers are there, the evolved ones are there.
When you get to the sixth and seventh level, then those two levels, you really don't have to come back to Earth. You prepare yourself to go into the next plane of existence, of the ethereal plane.
The ethereal plane from there.
Right.
Which precludes the need for physical life, as we understand.
Yeah, you don't need physical life anymore. And on that...
No politicians, no bankers, no lawyers.
On the seventh level of the astral plane, this is where you will find the hierarchy of the Lords of Karma.
Uh-huh.
And these are the ones that direct you. It's almost run. Our government is almost run like them, like they do. Because
don't say that.
No, we copy, I have to admit. Because just like we got a council for our cities, we got a council for our colonies, a council for our state, and a council for the United States.
So they run it sort of that way up there, too.
Right.
All right. Does that help you, Nesbitt?
Okay, it does, Bill. Thank you so much. Another great show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I've got great listeners.
Thank you.
And we have Florence on the line. Hello, Florence.
Hello, Bill.
Uh-huh.
Do you recall, it's been two or three months ago, I called and we're talking about going out of body and talking about getting to the seventh level. And you said to me, you have been to the seventh level? And I said, yeah. And I'm urged to come often. And, at number seven, I can relate to everything. Oh, what's the other gentleman's name?
Jerry. Jerry Gross and Jim Voigt.
Mm-hmm. Hi. And I can relate to everything you were saying about the lower levels. And when I was taken, I've always got a guide with me. And I call it Jesus, you know, just because I'm Christian. orientation. Anyway, when I get to the seventh level, why, it's like it's the top of one mountain, and there's a pool there that's filled with this water, and I was encouraged to get into the pool and underneath the water, and then there's a waterfall of it's liquid light, if you can imagine such a thing or visualize it, and then I can go up the inside of the waterfall and get into the ethereal planes. And I know exactly what you mean about you don't want to come back to Earth, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You want to stay there.
And those that are there don't have to come back to Earth.
Yeah.
Is it unusual for someone over here to visit the seventh level much, Jerry?
It depends upon how developed they are.
Well, I don't know how developed I am. I took a course from a Hindu called Mahasiddhananda in the 50s. And he released certain things in me. And during his course, he said, if you want to go to sleep in this course, why, don't let my talking bother you. He said, when you go to sleep, then I've got you right where I want you. And I can help you a lot more because your conscious mind is out of my way.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things started happening after that. And, but at the same time, I had a child to take care of. And, at first there was, I was getting so ethereal that, I had to get my feet back on the ground because I still had things to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in the Middle West at that time, and you know, with the orientation, it's quite a leap.
Well, it's quite different than what you'd ordinarily find in the Middle West or the South. I grew up there. They have
absolutely
a hard time with this information generally.
In other words, they think you're nuts.
Well,
to use a colloquial term.
Yeah. Well, that's about the size of it.
And I have a whole group of friends there.
On the seventh level.
The seventh, and on up.
Or on up.
Yeah. At number 17 is a tree that was shown to me. I may have, my numbers might not correspond exactly to yours, Jerry. Or, you know, the other people. But it's just a way of you know, just like a map. And there's a tree that, and this was shown to me and explained to me that this is the method of illustrating the theory of eternal abundance. And this tree is crystallized light. And I was taken, excuse me, I was taken there by my guide. And he said, wouldn't you like to have a piece of fruit? And so I picked off a branch with fruit and leaves. And immediately it was replaced. No waiting. And I put this fruit in my mouth, and it looked like it was crystal. But immediately it melted, and it was totally nourishing. Like there's everything you need in that one piece of fruit.
Even though you were in the spiritual realm.
Yeah, it's spiritual nourishment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
What?
I was in that same tree.
Yeah, it's a nice place, isn't it?
And you pick the fruit off, and as soon as you pick it off, it replaces it.
Can you speak up a little bit, Jerry? You're fading on us a little bit.
Oh, okay. I was in that same tree. I seen that same tree. I picked the fruit off, and it was replaced right away.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you held it in your hand, it felt like glass.
Right.
And you put it in your mouth, and it was gone.
Yeah, it just melts immediately.
And you know what you got there? It's what the Bible calls, like, the tree of knowledge.
Yeah. Or divine abundance. the concept that that there's no end to abundance. You know, on this earthly plane, why people believe that there's only so much good, and if a person gets wealthy, they're robbing somebody else. And that's not the way it is.
No, that's right.
Not really.
Everybody has the ability to have whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Florence, that's...
only put it to work.
That's fascinating stuff, Florence, and I think you're quite privileged to get up in there.
I could go on for hours, Bill.
Yes. Sounds to me like you could. You see why I want to go out of body so bad?
Well,
I want to eat out of that tree.
Well, but you can. Maybe you do every night. And just...
There's that... I'm told that goes on. But I want to remember it like you, like all of you are doing. All right. I thank you very much for that, Florence.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, hon. I'm Bill Jenkins. Tonight, my guests are Jim Voigt and Jerry Gross. They're with Search and Prove, which is a group of people in St. Paul, Minnesota, that have been deeply involving themselves with the great things that are to be learned and used, and the ability to go out of body. It's helped them, and they're here to also help you. You're at Talk Radio 79. I have Paul on the line. Paul, welcome aboard.
Yes. Well, Jim, yeah, I have had quite a bit of experience in what you call out of travel. I call it spiritual ascending and spiritual descending. I've been able to go to India and other places with what you call out of body.
Uh-huh.
And seen certain things, and have even talked with people and helped them to do some things.
You've talked to people in the physical while you're out of body?
Yes.
Well, that's quite unusual, isn't it, Jim?
Conscious mind, and help them to not do some things.
Oh, you converse with them in a mental level, then?
Right.
Or an ESP kind of level.
Right.
Are they aware to whom they're talking?
Some of them do, some don't.
I see. Well, you had mentioned something of that nature earlier yourself, hadn't you, Jerry, with, like, working with your daughter?
Yeah, I work with my daughter through school.
So that's just projecting thoughts into her mind, and you can do that easily from the out-of-body state.
Yep, you can do that even in the physical. You can do it, too.
Well, yeah, some people can, that's true. Well, you probably are doing it all the time. I know my wife does it all the time to me. She perceives what I'm thinking, and I wish she'd stop it. I'm kidding. I love it.
Yes, I agree with 100% of what he's saying there, because you can do quite a few things for yourself and also other people, and helping other people.
What has it meant to you, Paul, to be able to go out of body?
Well, quite a few experiences. Mm-hmm. Some things I can't tell on the radio. I'd like to, you know, come down to the station sometime and tell you personally some things that have happened.
Mm-hmm. Has it been responsible for any kind of change in your attitudes or in your life?
Oh, yeah, a whole lot.
To the better, you would say?
Right.
You learn things that you wouldn't learn normally on a physical level?
Right.
Of a better quality, or just something that was more useful
to
you?
A whole lot of better quality.
Mm-hmm.
Good things happen.
I see.
Right.
All right, well, I appreciate that, Paul.
All right.
Thank you for checking in.
All right.
And Joyce, you're on.
Yes, I understand. I don't have much time, so hello to everybody. Even
hello.
I need the time to tell you how square I am, and that I'm not a nut, and that I don't usually believe in anything. I've never seen a ghost, and all of that sort. If you get the picture.
Well, I've never gone out of bed. So.
I never had either. That's what I'm saying. I'm very square about this sort of thing, and when I listen, it's with an open mind. Not that I would ever know or witness anything.
Uh-huh.
And about 3 weeks ago, I was exhausted, really feeling heavy, really worn out. I never get like that. And the minute I was just at the point of going to sleep, all of a sudden this force just like shoved me. It was from the bottom and I was going to come out the top. And it was almost like a slide, like I had no control to stop it, like a slide.
Uh-huh.
And I just like popped out. And I thought, I'm going to go right through that wall, and that's going to be it. And then it was like I was a shadow. I went to the corner and stood there, and I thought, this has got to be a dream. And You know, it might be that I've heard about or some, you know, this show that I've heard before and everything. So then I woke up and I thought that was really weird. That was something else. So I decided to forget about it, and I thought, it's just a dream, and I don't know anything about it. And then I was going to tell somebody that at school where I go, and they said they didn't believe in it, so I let it go. And by golly, then the next, that very night, he came home. I was so tired again, exhausted sleep. And the minute I started to go to sleep, it's like I was sleeping with my eyes open. I couldn't see, but I was asleep or whatever. But the minute I hit the bed, it started to do it again, and I could stop it. I wouldn't do it.
Why not?
Well, I don't want to. That was a weird thing. I think if whatever this was, if it's what you're talking about, started, you can't stop it. But if you get it right at the beginning, like the minute I felt, oh, here I go into that again, I'm not. So I just woke up. I just won't do it. And then I read...
Where's your adventurous spirit, Joyce?
Well, what do you think now? Does anybody ever describe it as being sort of like knocked out or stalked out of it or plopped out of your body?
Well, let's ask the experts here.
There's all kinds of ways that you leave the body, and that's one of them.
Well, this is a fast force. Like, you're not...
Right, uh-huh.
You're going, and you're almost like, I got to hang on to something.
Right, sometimes you just explode out, and away you go.
Yeah, I felt like I really was... plopped out, you know, before I could stop it. Now I'm about there. It was strange, and I would never believe anything like that.
Well, you don't think I would sit here and tell you things that weren't true.
Well, a lot of times I think that the people that call in, like, it's probably a dream, and that's it. Is that thing about everybody always sees a bright light, you know, that they go through?
A near-death experience, yeah.
Well, every time I've ever had sodium pentothal, I see a bright light. I don't think I've ever nearly died or anything that I know of, and I've had it 5 times, and I think most people do that when they have pentothal.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody that says they saw this, I think that's the way that reacts, that drug. So,
well,
you have
gotten out of body. You don't particularly want to do it again, but it happens to you every now and then.
Well, do you think that's what it was?
That sounds like it. That's what Jim just said.
Well, I would never believe it.
Well, now you know.
Well, I think you can stop it the minute it starts. If you want to quit, you've got to wake up quick and get out of it, or you'll go. Then you're awake and you know you're going, but you can't turn it back. Does that make sense?
This was kind of an introduction for you, and now it's up to you to either pursue it or
stop
it.
Well, I'm afraid it'll do it again. I'm afraid it'll do that again, but I don't particularly want to do that.
Well, then you probably will stop it if you don't want to.
Well, I never asked for it in the first place. I wasn't thinking about it, or I hadn't heard anything about it forever, or nothing like that on my mind. But
well,
I will
Joyce,
say I was very exhausted. And then 2 nights in a row.
Yeah, that's something. Joyce, thank you for sharing that with us.
Okay, talk to you again.
Thanks. All right. Thank you for that. Jim, Jerry, thank you for spending so much time with us back there in St. Paul. And Jerry, for your quick trip into Los Angeles and the San Fernando Valley. And we'll get together about your next appearance in person here when we'll conduct that little experiment live. Next week, Tom Beard and John Bedini join me. And we will amaze you then on Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. Good night.
K-A-B-C.